Yat of whom Rupam, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, this visible cosmic manifestation is a demonstration of your own creative energy. Since the countless varieties of forms within this cosmic manifestation are simply a display of your external energy, this Virat Rupa, universal body, is not your real form. Except for a devotee in transcendental consciousness, no one can perceive your actual form. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Mayavadi philosophers think the universal form of the Lord to be real and His personal form illusory. We can understand their mistake by a simple example. A fire consists of three elements, heat and light, which are the energy of the fire and the fire itself. Anyone can understand that the original fire is the reality and that the heat and light are simply the fire's energy. Heat and light are the formless energies of fire, and in that sense they are unreal. Only the fire has form, and therefore it is a real form of the heat and light. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. Thus the impersonal conception of the Lord is like the expansion of heat and light from a fire. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, Matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshva avasthitah. The entire material creation is resting on Krishna's energy, either material, spiritual or marginal. But because His form is absent from the expansion of His energy, He is not personally present. This inconceivable expansion of the Supreme Lord's energy is called Achintya Shakti. Therefore, no one can understand the real form of the Lord without becoming His devotee. Om. My dear Lord, this visible cosmic manifestation is a demonstration of your own creative energy. Since the countless varieties of forms within this cosmic manifestation are simply a display of your external energy, this Virat Rupa, universal body, is not your real form. Except for a devotee in transcendental consciousness, no one can perceive your actual form. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Over here, Mother Lakshmi, she is making it very clear as to who can see the real form of the Lord and who cannot see. In these few verses, we are understanding what is that vision which one has to develop, by which one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous purport, Prabhupada quotes Aryama, in which he says, Anupalakshita Sthana. No one can locate that Supreme Lord with one's mundane vision. So in these few verses, we are getting some optical lessons given by Mother Lakshmi. She is putting us on an optical test as to how to develop that vision. So we shall try to discuss today how important it is to understand the phenomena of developing this vision to see the Supreme Lord, and how our scriptures, they glorify this particular sense of seeing the Supreme Lord with one's inner content. Now, as far as the eyes are concerned, Srimad Bhagavatam and the other scriptures explain what is the power of these eyes. Chakshu Indriya is considered to be one of the most powerful of all our five senses. We know that saying, face is the index of mind. Now, when it is said that face is the index of mind, our face comprises of so many different limbs. Face has nose on it. We have the cheeks. We have the forehead, the ears, and we have the eyes. But just by looking at someone's nose, we cannot make out what is there in his mind. Just by looking at someone's ears or cheeks, we cannot make out what is there in that person's mind. It is the eyes which act as windows to one's mind. And therefore, when we say that face is the index of mind, it is through the eyes that we can look into the mind of that particular person. And we have the example from Ramayana when Lord Ram was returning back to Ayodhya after killing Ravan. So he first sent Hanuman ahead of him to inform Bharat about his arrival. And specifically, Lord Ram instructed Hanumanji that you go to Nandigram where Bharat is performing austerities in my separation and is ruling Ayodhya in my separation on my behalf. So you go and inform him about my arrival. And as you are informing him, you should very minutely observe his eyes. And if he expresses jubilation in his eyes about the news of my arrival, then I'll plan to come. But if his eyes expresses remorse and he's not feeling so happy about my arrival, then I may not come to Ayodhya. So over here, Lord Ram, he was speaking of the power of eyes, that how eyes can reveal what is there in the mind. Then in the Garuda Puran, we have that famous verse which also speaks of the power of eye. Patanga, matanga, kuranga, bhringa, meena, hata, pancha, bhireva, pancha, ekam pramathi, sa katham na hanyate, yah sevate, pancha, bhireva, pancha. The five animals have been mentioned. Patanga, matanga, kuranga, bhringa, the moth, the elephant, the deer, the bhringa, the mumblebee, and the fish, and how they get destroyed when they go to enjoy just one of their senses. And amongst these five animals, it is said that the moth gets destroyed when it goes to enjoy the eyes, when it goes to enjoy the sense of sight. When it looks at the dancing flames of fire, the nature of this moth is, first, it circumambulates. It does a pradikshina to that flame. And then gets so much infatuated that enters into that flame and kills itself. It's burned to death. And it's not that the other moths who are seeing this, they are learning lessons that we should not commit the same mistake. They also follow the same path. They also get destroyed when they go to enjoy the sense of sight. So the power of eyes is seen over here also, that how this moth gets destroyed when it goes to enjoy its eyes. In fact, in the fifth canto, there is mention of a separate hell reserved for those people who misuse their eyes. It is called Paryavartan, name of this hell. And it is explained by Shukadeva Goswami that when a person, when he glances with cruel eyes on his guest or visitor, then this person, he becomes qualified to enter this hell called Paryavartan. Just by glancing with cruel eyes, with unwanting eyes at the visitor or guest, he has to go to this hell. And what happens over there? There are these ferocious looking birds who first gaze with their hard eyes on this person, and then they swoop down and pluck, you know, these birds like vultures, herons, cockneys, I don't know what this word is, cockneys and crows. So these hard-eyed, ferocious birds, they pluck out this person's eyes who has just seen someone, not even spoken something, not even done something with the other senses, but just seen with cruel eyes. That is the power of eyes. In the fourth canto, we have again in the Daksha Yagya, when Bhrigu Muni was cursing Lord Shiva and his associates, and he was a kind of a spectator, just observing what was happening. His name was Bhaga. And he, while Bhrigu Muni was cursing Lord Shiva, he was just moving his eyebrows. And just for that, Virabhadra, that black demon who was created by Lord Shiva, when that fierce battle took place, Virabhadra remembered that he had just moved his eyebrows while Bhrigu Muni was cursing. So he plucked out his eyes for that particular act of this person Bhaga, which he did. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada asked Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, my eyes go everywhere." Prabhupada said, "Then you'll go blind if your eyes go everywhere." So first he thought that spiritually I'll go blind. But Prabhupada said, no, materially also. Because the sense objects are so many in this world, and the sense objects are so fascinating, that if your eyes are going everywhere, definitely even materially you'll go blind. Then we have Bhrigu Muni, when he was testing Lord Brahma. Of course, he was testing all the three Guna avatars, but specifically when he was testing Lord Brahma, and he apparently disrespected Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma exhibited his remorse towards Bhrigu Muni through his eyes, and Bhrigu Muni could understand that Lord Brahma is getting disturbed just by looking at the eyes of Lord Brahma. And in this very pastime, again, we see the power of eyes, that when Bhrigu Muni kicked on the chest of Lord Vishnu, which was again seen by Mother Lakshmi. So Mother Lakshmi left Vaikuntha for this reason, because her eyes had seen this offense against her husband, Vishnu. And then we have the whole story of how Sri Balaji appeared. And that story is so detailed and so complex. And it all began when Mother Lakshmi, with her eyes, saw that offense of Bhrigu Muni kicking on the chest of Lord Vishnu. Then again we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Brahma asked the four Kumaras to get married, and when they refused, denied, Lord Brahma also, he became angry. And that anger was spurted out through the middle of his eyebrows. And of course, the 11 Rudras were born through that. But the anger came out through the eyes, in between the eyebrows, over there also. Then we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who speaks about the power of eyes. He says that just by looking at the wooden form of a woman, just my eyes, when they look upon a wooden doll, my mind becomes agitated. That is the power of eyes. And we have Rupa Goswami who gives that warning. This is a positive warning, of course. He says that don't go to Keshi Ghat and look upon the beautiful form of Lord Govinda. Once your eyes look upon the beautiful form of Lord Govinda, anything of this material world will be of no value for you. So Rupa Goswami is also giving the power of eyes. And in the second canto, we have that verse, Barha yete te nayane naranam. Eyes which don't see the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like plumes which are printed on the peacock feather. Eyes which are printed on the plumes of the peacock feather. Those eyes which do not gaze upon the beauty and appreciate the beauty of the Supreme Lord, those eyes are simply like plumes on the peacock feather. In fact, the Braja Gopis, they are also involved in eye criticism. When they say and cursing Lord Brahma, they are saying that what kind of creator you are who has created these eyes which blink, in which we are not able to appreciate and drink the beauty of Lord Krishna, Shyam Sundar, unrestrictedly. In fact, they go into details explaining that first of all, you yourself, you have 8 eyes. And then Indra, you gave him thousands of eyes all over his body. And what is he doing with all those eyes? He's just seeing the heavenly delights. That's all. And on top of that, all of you demigods, you have made your eyes, you know, animisha, which are unblinking. And as far as we are concerned, who want to drink the beauty of Krishna to our fullest heart's content, you have given us only 2 eyes and that too which blinks. So the gopis are again speaking about the eyes and they are criticizing Lord Brahma for just giving them 2 eyes which even blink. And in Chaitanya Leela we have that milk drinking brahmachari who just got a glimpse of the wonderful dance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Shiva Sangan. And just by seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing just for a short duration of time, he was swooning in ecstasy. And then one step ahead, we have Mukunda's example. Mukunda, he was in one sense just thrown out from the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he can never see me. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that maybe after 10 million lifetimes. So here we have Mukunda, who was not even seeing, but just the thought of seeing in future. And how much was that future? 10 million lifetimes. Just the thought of seeing with his eyes, the beautiful form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that to 10 million lifetimes, he was swooning in ecstasy just by that very thought. So we understand by these examples that how the power of eye is so deep, so great, that once it is used properly, how it can take us to the realm of that advanced spiritual consciousness by which we can see the Supreme Lord face to face. And when it is misused, one can even stoop down to the level of going to some kind of hell. Then Srimad Bhagavatam explains this concept of seeing beyond the eyes. We may have our physical eyes, the physical vision, but how we have to go beyond this physical vision and see something which is connected to what is the content of one's heart. So the second canto explains about how materialistic people first, they see beyond the eyes. So Shukdev Goswami, that famous verse, Deha Patya Kalatra Adishu आत्म सैन्येषु असत्स्वपि तेषां प्रमत्त निधनं पश्यन् अपि न पश्यति. सो वी हैव दिस टर्म पश्यन् अपि न पश्यति. व्हाट डज दिस मीन? दैट द आईज आर सीइंग समथिंग बट द आईज आर नॉट सीइंग इन इट्स एक्चुअलिटी व्हाट इट इज. पश्यन् अपि न पश्यति, सीइंग बट नॉट सीइंग. Or one has to see beyond the eyes, or seeing beyond the physical vision. So we have the materialistic people who undergo in this particular category pashyan api na pashyati, and also we have the spiritualist who also have this kind of concept pashyan api na pashyati. So the materialistic people, they are blind to the spiritual reality. And we have the spiritualist who are blind to the materialistic activities. In fact, over here, Prabhupada mentions about the Mayavadis who consider the real form of the Supreme Lord to be illusory. So they also come in the category of those kind of blind people who might think that they have developed that spiritual vision, but still they are far away from seeing the personality of Godhead. Like there are two kinds of blindness. One is when there is utter darkness, you can't see something. People who are actually blind and in darkness. And another kind of blindness is because of too much light. So the Mayavadis are blind because of too much effulgence, which they are so fond of the Supreme Lord. So because of too much blinding light, which they are so fond of, they are blind to see the form of the personality of Godhead. So it is actually the inner content of the heart which alters the physical vision which one might have. So we can see how there are some examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam in which the gradual progression of one's vision has been enlisted. First we have the example of Saubari Muni and Ajamil. Saubari Muni saw those two fishes coming together to enjoy sex life. And when Saubari Muni just saw with his physical eyes, over here we can see the concept of Pashyan Api Na Pashyati again. Saubari Muni saw with his physical eyes those two fishes coming and enjoying, but actually he saw beyond what the physical eyes saw. Saubari Muni saw the principle of that enjoyment beyond the physical act which was being performed. And therefore, Saubari Muni, he came out of the waters and he started looking for that enjoyment. If Saubari Muni would have been just captivated by those fishes, he would be running around for those fishes. But he was not running around for those fishes. He was running around for the, you know, principle of that enjoyment as he came out of the waters. So Saubari Muni, though physically with his eyes saw those two fishes, but he saw beyond the particular act and he was attracted to the principle of that particular enjoyment. And we have Ajamil also. When Ajamil saw that scene, Ajamil also saw beyond that particular scene. He already was married. If he wanted, he could have had that enjoyment in his married life. But he saw beyond and therefore he went and married that prostitute. So in this two examples, we see that how the vision of a particular object was a vision of gratification for both of them. And then a further progression from this, we can see the vision of Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami, in fact, he didn't want to see this world. And for that reason, he was for a long time within the womb of his mother. And after much persuasion, when Lord Krishna himself appeared and asked Shukadeva Goswami to come out. So Shukadeva Goswami, immediately after coming out, he just starts walking towards the jungle without having any clothes on his body. And Shukadeva Goswami, he passes through a place where some ladies, they are bathing naked. And over here we can see Shukadev Goswami's vision that he was completely indifferent. Because there was no desire within to enjoy, therefore the object, even though was so graphically present in front of him, was not making any difference in his consciousness, because his inner content was so pure. So Shukadev Goswami, he considered whether these ladies, whether some tree, whether a dead stone, anything, it was of equal for him. So for Shukadev Goswami, his vision was a vision of indifference. And then further we see in the 10th canto, Narad Muni, when he saw the two sons of Kuvera, Manigreev and Nalakuvar, who were also engaged in enjoying naked the Mandakini Ganga. So when Narad Muni saw with a vision of rectification, that he wanted to rectify the situation of Manigreev and Nalakuvar. So he saw with the vision of rectification, and therefore Narad Muni, although he cursed them, but that curse was a kind of a benediction by which ultimately they were thanking Narad Muni for rectifying their situation. And then further we have Srila Haridas Thakur. When he was confronted with that prostitute, what was Haridas Thakur's vision? His vision was the vision of compassion. When Haridas Thakur saw that prostitute in front of him, and this prostitute was not some kind of a passive sense object, she was very actively trying to seduce Haridas Thakur with her advances. But Haridas Thakur, because his heart was full of compassion, so Haridas Thakur's vision was a vision of compassion, and Haridas Thakur saw the potential of a pure devotee within that prostitute, which can receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of the holy name. So we see that how the subject of the heart is something which decides the nature of the object which the physical eyes they see. So it is the content of the heart, it is the subject of the heart which alters the physical object which the eyes might see. Lord Krishna showed his universal form to three personalities. He showed his universal form to Duryodhan, he showed his universal form to Arjun and to Mother Yashoda. And we see the same universal form, but how the vision of these three personalities was so different. Duryodhan, when he saw Lord Krishna's universal form, he wanted to arrest Lord Krishna. And when Arjun saw the universal form of Lord Krishna, Arjun, he started to offer his obeisances from all sides, and he was in awe and reverence. He was begging forgiveness. And when Mother Yashoda saw that universal form within the mouth of her baby son, she started to think within her mind that what's happening. She started to argue within her mind, Shukadev Goswami explains. She started asking, is it some kind of a dream which I am seeing? Is it some kind of manifestation of the illusory energy of the external energy of the Supreme Lord which has been come in front of me? Or is it that my child is a very mystical child? And immediately she started praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not knowing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is over there in front of her eyes. But she started praying to the Supreme Lord that, please, if I have done any pious activity, please remove all this illusion and this difficulty from my child's existence. So Mother Yashoda, she was so much suffused with love for her darling son Krishna, that she was not able to see any of that opulence which Krishna was showing in the form of the universal form, the cosmic manifestation which Krishna showed to Mother Yashoda. So then we have the example of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. when they saw Lord Narsingadev. The same form of Lord Narsingadev seen by Prahlad, seen by Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj picked up a garland to offer to Lord Narsingadev, and Hiranyakashipu picked up sword to kill Lord Narsingadev. The object was the same, but the vision changed according to what was the content within the heart. Dhritarashtra was born blind, and we have Bilva Mangal Thakur who voluntarily took out his eyes. So Dhritarashtra, although he was born blind, but because he was so much attached to the throne and also attached to his son Duryodhan and wanting his son to take up the throne, so he was, though blind, but he was clearly seeing the hopes of Duryodhan getting that throne because of what was there in his heart. His blind eyes were always seeing Duryodhan sitting on that throne. And then we have Bilva Mangal Thakur, who took out those eyes, which he thought were just a hindrance of seeing Radha and Krishna, of getting that vision of seeing Radha and Krishna. So Bilva Mangal Thakur, with those blind eyes of his, he was actually very clearly seeing the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And we heard about the glorious example of Kuresh, how this person, he sacrificed his eyes to protect his spiritual master, Sripad Ramanujacharya. We heard how Kuresh, after he sacrificed his eyes, when he came to see Ramanujacharya, came to meet Ramanujacharya, Ramanujacharya, upon seeing Kuresh, he was crying bitterly, and he in fact took Kuresh to Kanchipuram, and he asked Kuresh that you should ask Varadaraj, you should first offer prayers to Varadaraj, and when Varadaraj appears in front of you, when he asks that you ask for any benediction, then you should ask for your eyes. And three times Ramanujacharya took Kuresh in front of Varadaraj. The first time Kuresh asked that, my dear Lord, if you want to give me any benediction, you send back this Chatugram to Vaikuntha, who was the minister of that king Kolatunga, who had given this advice to the king that if you really want to spread your Shaivism, you should kill Ramanujacharya or defeat Ramanujacharya. So, and in fact, this Chatugram was actually a disciple of Kuresh. He was a follower of Ramanujacharya. But Kuresh, the first benediction, he asked from Varadaraj that he should be sent to Vaikuntha. And when Ramanujacharya saw that still he was blind, he again took him to Varadaraj and again said that you should ask for your eyes. That's my instruction. And the second time when Varadaraj asked to ask for benediction, Kuresh said that the king Kolatunga should go to Vaikuntha. And then Ramacharya was feeling so pained in his heart. In fact, Varadaraj himself then asked that, I want to give you the vision. Please ask for that. And what is Kuresh asking then? Kuresh said that, my dear Lord, if you really want to give me some vision, then just give me the vision, enough vision to just see your beautiful form and the beautiful form of my spiritual master, Srimad Ramanujacharya. And Varadara just gave him that vision. So though physically he was blind, but he was very clearly able to see the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Varadaraj, and he was very clearly able to see his spiritual master, Sripad Ramanujacharya. In fact, Ramanujacharya, he exclaimed after seeing the sacrifice of Kuresh, he said that in your sacrificing of your eyes, you have actually given vision to the entire world as to what real Vaishnavism is. So you have given vision to the entire world though you have sacrificed your eyes in order to give that vision to the entire world. And therefore, we hear Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saying, don't try to see Krishna, but serve in such a way that Krishna would want to see you. There was one devotee of Sri Banke Bihari in Vrindavan. His name was Swami Sharanananda. He was a very great devotee over there of Sri Banke Bihari. And he was also born blind. But every day he would go in front of the deities of Banke Bihari. And the pandits over there, they would make fun of him. They would ridicule him. So one time these pandits, they told him as he was coming out from the temple of Banke Bihari, the pandits, they asked him, so how was the darshan today? So everyone knew that he was blind, but they were making fun of him. So he said that, yes, I am born blind, and with these eyes I am not able to see the Lord, and you are trying to make fun of me. But every day I come just to mark my attendance in front of the Lord. And yes, I might be blind, but Banke Bihari is not blind. He can see me. So therefore I come every day just so that the Supreme Lord can see me and can recognize that yes, he has marked his attendance today also. So every day he would come and he would mark his attendance in front of Banke Bihari. And actually he was the one who was actually having the darshan of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, over here, when Mother Lakshmi, she is speaking in this particular verse, that who can see you, my dear Lord? Only one who is imbued with pure love for you, in that pure consciousness. Only that person can see you face to face. And somebody who doesn't have that particular vision, even though you might be in front of that person, but you are still aloof. Anupalakshita sthanam. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. So until and unless we develop that love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that inner content within our heart, even though the Supreme Lord might be visible to our physical eyes, we might be seeing the Supreme Lord every day with these physical eyes. But if the heart is not purified, if the heart is not suffused with love for the Supreme Lord, the Lord will be anupalakshita sthana. So we'll end over here if anyone has any questions or comments. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. You have a question?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. I just wanted to find out, if you think of donating your eyes, is that a good prospectus from Krishna conscious point of view, or you're going to be punished for that as well if someone misuses it?
No, I just missed the first line. What you said?
If you want to donate your eyes.
If you want to donate the eyes.
So is it, you'll be punished for that, or how does it go? What do you do?
Well, we don't know how the eyes will be used when we donate our eyes to someone. And if that person, generally, you know, it's just donated to the eye bank. And then no one knows, you know, who will be using those eyes. So after you have donated those eyes, and if those eyes are used for some, you know, sinful activity, then definitely the person will be incriminated that kind of karma, because the facility have been given to that person to engage in that particular activity by getting those eyes. So definitely there is karma involved in that. So I don't know whether, you know, according to the Antyeshti Samskars, the body has to be intact also. You know, when a person dies, then according to the Antim Sanskar, the body has to be intact. If you take out, voluntarily something on purpose, some limbs, then that might affect the soul of that dead person also in future. You have something to say? So, better we just use these eyes in the service of Krishna, and we can give this knowledge to everyone by which they can develop their vision, not the vision of the physical eyes, but the vision from the heart, by which even though they are blind, they can see the Supreme Lord by hearing about the Supreme Lord. So therefore we have Shastra Chakshusha, that we donate the eyes by giving them the message of Godhead through the ears, by which they can see the Supreme Lord. And He is the only one worth seeing. The Supreme Lord is the only one worth seeing, and He can be seen only through the Shastra Chakshusha, through the ears. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.